crazy people saying a lot of crazy things, a lot of false prophets prophesying false things. And there's been a lot of people laughing and making jokes. And I will tell you that I have not joined up with any of those that are crazy and making false predictions and getting people's hopes up. And neither am I a part of that group of people that is making a joke out of everything. Because I do believe that the world is going to come to an end. And I guess it's always good to remind ourselves of that from time to time. 2 Peter chapter number 3. And reading the first verse and on down for a little. The second epistle, or a letter, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord Jesus, of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. And everybody said amen. Amen. And unstable rest, at which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. And I want to preach for a few minutes this morning on the numbing down of America. The numbing down of America. And I don't have a list this morning. That was what I meant to say. I was talking to a lady the other day in the hospital, and of some age, and in critical condition, but she was on the mend to improve me. And I often have this conversation with our retirees. I've often had this conversation, and it's uncanny because it's not an anomaly or a once-in-a-lifetime deal, but in ministry you meet with a lot of different people, all the way from little children to the very oldest of our citizens and our saints. And common thought and a common question that our saints that are older have is this: why am I still here? And I've had this conversation so many times. And so when I was talking with this lady the other day in the hospital, I was not at all taken aback when she said, or ask that question, why am I still here? And we had a great conversation and a very stirring conversation. She was encouraged in the Lord. I was encouraged in the Lord. And I told her what is my standard answer. And of course, I said, the reason why you're still here is because God wants you to still be here. And I said, if God wants you to still be here, then that must mean that He still has something for you to do. Something for you to accomplish in this life. Nobody just takes up space on God's plan. We are all here for a purpose. Sister Stacy spoke to us of that a couple of weeks ago. And she said, I know that. But sometimes it gets long in the waiting for a promise to be fulfilled. Sometimes it gets long in the waiting for things to transpire the way that we know that God has promised us or others have promised us that they will. And sometimes you get to a place in your life where, and I haven't reached that place yet, but we will all get to that place more than likely in our lives if we live long enough to where that we feel, as the Apostle Paul, that he said, I have fought a good fight, I have run the race, I have finished my course, and I am ready to move on to the next level. Even the Apostle Paul had those same feelings, but he knew that while he was yet breathing on this earth, that he still had a job to do. And the Apostle Paul spent his last days on the earth writing some of the most profound letters with some of the most profound theological things that have ever been written concerning Jesus Christ and His Word. He spent his last days busy doing something great for God. We are living in the last days, folks. I'm not here to preach Bible prophecy this morning. We've been teaching on that on Wednesday nights. And those of you that are here on Wednesday nights, you know that Bible prophecy is a lot of Bible scriptures. We study dozens and dozens of scriptures and scripture on top of scripture on top of scripture. And if you don't stay with the Bible when you're doing Bible prophecy, you get into lots of trouble and a lot of crazy things and ideas you can make up. And we start adding up days and counting calendars and looking at the moon and looking at the sun and looking at the planets and all of those other things. And we get away, as soon as we get away from the Bible, we are going to make a mistake. And everybody, there's one man and he's getting quite wealthy off of this. Maybe I need to change my ministry a little bit. The Bible says that in the last days that men and women would come along who will twist the scriptures to make money. It was already happening in Paul's day. It was already happening in Jesus' day. And it is a common thing for people who have some knowledge of the Word to twist it and try to push their beliefs on simple people who don't really know any better, who are trusting, somewhat naive, and haven't studied the Scriptures for themselves, and make money off of them by getting them to donate money. And a lot of these preachers, we call them televangelists. They have worldwide ministries, and they have television programs, and they procure tens of millions of dollars a year from people that see them on television, and that get their periodicals. And I'm not saying that everything they do is bad. I'm not trying to cast aspersions, put them all in a bucket together and toss them out the back door. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is this. We've got to know what the Bible says for ourselves. We've got to know what God's promises are for ourselves. And we can't ignore plain teachings of the Bible to get caught up in sensational things that are happening around us. The tsunami that they had in Japan was horrific. But you know what? If you were to go to Japan today, and you were to travel the coastal areas of Japan, they have monuments and stones that are set along the coastline at varying heights. And there are some that say, do not build a house below this rock. You know why they have those stones there? Can anybody take a wild guess? Because they've had a tsunami before. That's correct. And there are a lot of natural disasters. We were sitting at the table last night after Nathaniel's graduation at Pizza Hut. And I don't know where this came from, but Nathaniel says some very profound things sometimes. And he said, "Why is God mad at us for sending that tornado that killed all those people?" He wanted to know why God was mad at us. And I felt sorry for Patrick because, you know, he's the dad, so he has to answer that question. And I could tell that he was struggling with it. And as I grow in the ministry and in leadership, more and more I try to be more curious and more inquisitive and less knowing about things. I think that as you get older, you find out that the less you know. And the more there is to know. I remember when I came out of Bible college and after 4 years of studying the Bible, I felt so inadequate with the expansiveness of God's Word and all there was to study. How can you preach every week for years and years and years and still have something to preach every week? Because the Bible is so expansive, you never, ever run out of things to say. And I told Patrick, I said, "You know what?" I said, "He may be right. He may be right. Maybe God is in." And so we just left it at that, hoping that the conversation would go away. But tsunamis have happened before. Earthquakes have happened before. There have been earthquakes historically that rocked all of Asia Minor. They say that after the book of Revelation was written, the seven churches, you'll remember in chapter 2 and 3 of Revelation, seven of the churches of Asia were spoken to specifically. And historically, there was an earthquake that was so expansive that it rocked Asia Minor, and that all of the cities where these churches were collapsed. It was not just a localized event, not just a regional event, but it was a quasi-continental event that decimated the population, that decimated all of these cities in Asia Minor. Earthquakes have happened before. Jesus said there will be earthquakes in diverse places. That doesn't mean that the end of the world is on our doorstep. There have been tsunamis before. That doesn't mean that the end of the world is on our doorstep. There have been tornadoes before, and hurricanes, and typhoons, and droughts, and floods, and landslides, and volcanic eruptions like they had yesterday. I believe in Iceland, somewhere out there, underneath the frozen tundra. All of these things have happened before, and all of these things will happen again, and again, and again, and again. That doesn't mean that the end of the world is come. Or what I mean to say, it doesn't mean that the end of the world is right around the corner. But I do think there are some things that do lead us. I do believe we are very close to the end of our current civilization as we know it. I do believe that some important things have happened. One of the important things that has happened is a place was discovered by civilization. It's a place called North America. And we talked about this in our Bible prophecy Bible study. Do you realize that this country has only been around for less than 300 years. And up until, I guess they came and started settling. When did the first pilgrims come? Was it the 1500s, 1600s, something like that? 14, something like that? That for all of those years before that, Nobody lived here but the American Indians. And then they started a little settlement here, pilgrims there. It's a very small group of people. Then it turned into 13 colonies. Then it turned to the United States of America. And we went from the East Coast to the West Coast. And now we are, the United States of America is the most powerful nation in the world. And I know we live here and we don't think about a lot of things, but the United States of America is the most powerful nation in the world. We have the most powerful army, we have the most powerful weapons, and we have the most resources. We have natural resources that we haven't even begun to tap yet. We are protected by two oceans. We are an amazing country. Different and diverse in all the countries of the world. Our economy is so huge. We literally feed the world. Our economy feeds the world. There are countries that literally survive and subsist on the handouts that we give them. The billions of leftover dollars that fall in between Washington's cracks literally eclipse the economies of some developing countries exponentially. They would love to have $1 billion gross domestic national product. There are no other countries in the world who have an economy as big and as powerful as the United States of America. Our gross domestic product in 2010 was 14 point something trillion dollars. You know what other country has that size economy? None. Do you know what other country has an economy that's even close to that? None. There is no country with an economic power and ability that the America has. There is no other country in the world that even comes in a close second. Now, they rate the European Union higher than one. Does anybody know how many countries there are in the European Union? Well, there's more than 10. It's quite a few. Good baker's dozen, at least. They count for anything. When they add all of their economies together, they are equivalent to the United States of America by itself. China's gross domestic product was about $5.6 trillion. They're going to need another $10 trillion to catch up with us. And all the economists are saying they're going to catch up with us. Whatever. Let them catch up. Japan. $5 point something trillion. Together, they still don't even equate to the economy. You are living in a last days empire. The United States of America, God reserved this country and this part of the world, I believe, and this is all speculation, of course, and I'm out of the Bible. We are a last days superpower. All the superpowers that have ever gone before us were all in Europe, Asia, Middle East, Africa. There has never been a superpower in this part of the world until the United States of America proclaimed its independence. There are as many, and I know everybody talks about the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel has not been a player in the world scene for thousands of years. When Jesus Christ came on the scene, they were nothing more than a beaten down vassal state of the Roman Empire. They were wiped off of the face of the map, and the Jews were scattered to the four winds of the earth. And only in the past 65 years, 70 years, the Jews began to return. In the late 1800s, they began to have little groups of them. 10,000 here, 100,000 there, little groups of Jews come in. Right now, today, we've been studying this in our Bible prophecy on Wednesday night, our midpoint Bible study. There are just 500,000 difference in population between the Jews in Israel and the Jews in the United States of America. There's only two places in the world that have a major concentration of Jewish population, and that is in Israel and the United States of America. There's 5.6, 5.7 million Jews in Israel, and there's 5.2, 5.3 million Jews in the United States of America. There is no other country in the whole entire world that even has a fraction of that many Jews in any country, anywhere in the world. Not even a half a million. There's not any country in the world anywhere that even has a half a million Jews. All the Jews in the world, the majority of the Jewish population in the world is in two places. The United States of America and Israel. If that doesn't make you think that we're getting close to the last days, I don't know what will. Those are powerful indications that there are things that are changing and transpiring in the world. Seeing God is getting things ready to wind them up. We were studying the other day about, the other night, just a little reiteration for those of you that weren't here and missed it. We were studying about the four horses and the different colors, and the one horse was white. And some theologians say that represents the Holy Roman Empire or the Catholic Church, the Pope dressed in white. And the other beast was red. And some people say that represents communism, which is their color. And then the other beast was black, and they say that represents capitalism and the United States of America and Western nation. And then the other beast is pale. And in the Greek, that word means pale green. In actual Greek, it means green. And green is the color of none other than the Muslim nations. And so there's a lot of people, and there's a lot of signs, and there's a lot of things that are pointing to us to tell us, hey, not the earthquakes, not the tsunamis, not the tornadoes, not the volcanoes, not the droughts, not the floods. But with the United States of America rising up out of the middle of nowhere and becoming a world power unparalleled in history. There's not even any ancient nations, not even ancient Israel under Solomon was as wealthy as the United States of America. And in the middle of all of that, the nation of Israel has finally stood up on its own two feet and become a player in the world stage and is a member of the United Nations. Now that makes you want to think that we're coming to the end of the world. But what's going to happen? What's going to happen in these last days? The same thing that always happens in every historical time frame. People are going to become numb and desensitized to all of these things. The people that live in America take it for granted. They don't even think twice about the part that they might be playing in world history, Bible history, and in the last days. They don't even think about the part that they may be playing. That every little action that they take, every little lifestyle decision that they make, every little thing that they do, and every little smart comment that they make about God, and every cuss word that they throw and scorn and mock in the face of Christians. And you've got a bunch of people, so-called Christians, running around like chickens with their heads cut off with t-shirts on and saying, "The Lord's coming back today. It's going to be the end of the world." Well, I hate to tell you, but the guy that predicted that the end of the world was coming yesterday, he's predicted that before. But he rearranged his numbers and now he's got the new numbers. And he's not the only one. 88 reasons why the Lord is going to come back in 1988. And on and on and on and on the list goes. What's happening? People are becoming desensitized and numb to all of this sort of thing. And there is a general malaise and a general apathy that rests on the people. That rests on the people of the world, that rests on the people of America. America, the number one world superpower, unparalleled in the history of civilization, is becoming numb and apathetic to what is going on in the world. But there are other nations out there that are hungry. There are billions of people out there, and that is both figurative and literal. They are hungry. And if we're not careful, folks, we'll allow ourselves to be lulled into a sleep. The American church is being lulled into a sleep. It has air conditioning and heated buildings. It has padded and cushioned pews. There are no birds flying. There is no rain falling on our heads. The American church, it drives in shiny cars that are air conditioned and climate controlled, and they live in climate controlled houses with thousands of square foot, and the ladies have hundreds of shoes, and the men have all sorts of outfits and things. Even the men these days are having a closet full of shoes, and I've always thought that if a guy had more than three shoes that he was a flake. Why does a guy need more than three pairs of shoes? You need one to go to church in, you need one to go shopping with your wife in, you need one to mow the grass in, right? What else do you need? Maybe a pair of boots to walk in the snow with. I'm just teasing. You know, I'm saying all that stuff tongue-in-cheek today. Now, I've been wearing these shoes. I don't know. I've been wearing these shoes for about 4 years. And they look pretty beat up. But I got a little shoe black that I can put on these things, and you'll never know how old they are. They look good. Good old Slovakian rubber on these babies. And after 4 years, they still haven't worn out. They still got to tread on them. Don't you wish you had a pair of shoes like that? Desensitized and apathetic towards the blessings that God has put a place upon us. And we've got our hands out, and we've got expectations, and we think that we are old things in society, and we're forgetting the generation that defeated Hitler, the generation that brought liberty to the world, are dying, and most of them, almost all of them, have passed off of the scene now. And this generation of people have forgotten what it took for our nation to get here. They have forgotten about the fear of God and the respect of religion. And we are coming to a different time period in our history. And there is a marked decline in morality in the United States of America. And I'm not here to pronounce doomsday and all of these things. If anybody tells you that the Lord is coming back tomorrow, you know that they have a problem. They are false prophets. If anybody tells you they know when the Lord is going to come back, then you know they have a problem. You know that they have an agenda. You know what that agenda is? An agenda is to get your money. Because not one of those people that's predicted the end of the world didn't have some money machine going on behind the scenes trying to make your money. Got to write a book about it, don't you? Money. Sell t-shirts about it, huh? Money. It's all about money, controlling people, etc., etc., etc. And while they make a fool of themselves and make a fool of the church, then you have all those other people that laugh at them and scoff at them and mock at them, and they say, where is the sign of His coming? Where is the sign of His coming? Where is the sign of His coming? For everything continues as it has been since the beginning of creation. Tornadoes, earthquakes, tsunamis, volcanic eruptions. Everything continues as it has been since the beginning of civilization. And there is a general laughing that is going on. Peter says this: they are willingly ignorant that there was a time when God overflowed the world with water. It was called Noah's flood. You can ask Brother Davis. He spent 17 years in Wyoming, and on top of those hills that they went hunting on the top of every one of those hills that they went hunting on, what could you find up there? Well, that's not scientific. That's not biblical. That's first-hand knowledge. If you go to 6,000 to 7,000 feet above sea level in Wyoming, what will you find? You will find fish fossils. How did they get there? They swam upstream, Brother Davis. That's right. They swam upstream. lot of streams out there in the desert, ain't there? Peter said they are willingly ignorant. The world, oh yeah, the world's going, everything's going a certain way. But he said at one point in time, God flooded the earth from stem to stern, over the top of every hill and every mountain peak, and destroyed everything in the earth. And they are willingly ignorant of that fact. And they try to explain it away scientifically. There's probably some of the most creative scientific theories out there as to how those seashells and those sea those fish fossils got on top of those mountains. Well, maybe they had some kind of a ziggurat up there, and maybe they worshipped the fish god, and they went and fished in the Pacific Ocean and brought it all the way in from the Great Lakes and hauled them all the way to the top of that mountain. Maybe that's where they had fish sacrifices. I don't know. You know, anything but to believe that the Word of God is true. And let me tell you something. No matter how many liars step up to the plate and say that God is going to come here or God's going to come there, no matter how many different people laugh and make fun of Christians and say, look at all you people always predicting and always getting it wrong. Irregardless of all of the ignorant people that surround us, the Bible says that just as God flooded the earth with water and destroyed everything in it, that He is going to send fire on the earth. And when Jesus Christ returns in the glory of His Father, the Bible says that He is going to exact vengeance and wrath upon the people of this earth. There is a promise that Jesus Christ made to His people. And He said, I am going to return. And one of these days, Jesus is going to return to this earth. And the Bible says He is going to stand smack dab on top of the Mount of Olives in Israel, and He is going to split it in half. And there are going to be cataclysmic earthquakes. The Bible says that this world has never seen. There are going to be earthquakes that are going to rock the world. When Jesus Christ comes back, the Bible says it's going to be like lightning flashing from one side of the sky to the other. The Bible says that the sun is going to be turned black, the moon is going to be turned to blood, and the stars of heaven are going to fall down upon the earth. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that heaven is going to roll back as a scroll. When Jesus comes back, it's not going to be a tsunami. When Jesus comes back, it's not going to be an earthquake. When Jesus comes back, it's not going to be another typhoon or hurricane or tornado. When Jesus Christ comes back, the Bible says that the earth is going to be stricken black with darkness. And the only thing that we're going to be able to see is Jesus Christ coming in His glory. There's not going to be any mistakes made at that point as to who's in charge of what. There's not going to be any mistakes made at that point. But you know what the problem is? The Bible says that in the days of the second coming of Jesus Christ, it's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah. People are going to be getting married. People are going to be giving their daughters in marriage, their sons in marriage, start businesses, going on about their lives, and paying scant attention to God. They're going to be oblivious. And they're just going to go on about their lives as though nothing was happening. And we are living in a very cataclysmic time, folks. Israel has not been a nation of any consequence for thousands of years, but they are right now. And they are actively seeking peace treaties with the nations around them. And that is a powerful Bible prediction that in the very last of days, in the very end of time, that Israel is going to sign a covenant with the devil himself. We've got a lot of Israel-loving people running around our country, and everybody's mad at Obama. A lot of preachers are mad at Obama because Obama has pulled the lines back a little bit on Israel and cast a few aspersions on the peace process there. And all the preachers, I've got several preacher friends that they put little pictures of the Israeli Star of David in their profile pictures on Facebook, and it says, I stand with Israel. Now they put one on there and says, if you stand with Israel, you will fall with Israel. Because they are, you know, they're awful quick, in my opinion, to jump in bed with an unfaithful wife. they say that, and can I just get this off my chest? Will you forgive me if I just get this off my chest? And they say that America is blessed because we're friends with Israel. And there may be some shred of truth to that, but for the most part, there's no truth to it. Because America became a power long before Israel did. So how did Israel bless us? How did Israel bless us in the Revolutionary War? How did Israel bless us in the midst of a civil war? How did Israel help us become a world power? No, they're not blessing us. America is not blessed because it's friends with Israel. America is blessed because it's friends with God.
That's right.
And whether we're friends with Israel or not is irrelevant to the relationship that we have as a people to God. If we're friends with God, our relationship to Israel is irrelevant, because a friendship with God supersedes everything else. The truth is, Israel is being blessed because we are friends with them. And I'm all for Israel being a nation. And I'm all for standing with Israel and respecting their rights. But I believe that we're just players in the last days, and God is the one that's in control. And we can whine about what the president does. And we can whine about what Israel does. And we can whine about what the Arabs do. We can whine all we want to. But in the end, it's going to be just like God planned it out to be. My job is not to try to figure it all out. My job, the Bible says, is I know. Brother David, since you know that there are fish fossils on top of a 7,000-foot-tall mountain, you know that God flooded the earth. Because you know that, you also know that if He can flood the earth, then He can burn it up. All it would take would be one asteroid to hit this planet smack dab in the middle of the Pacific or the Atlantic Ocean, and it would wipe out humanity. You ever thought about that? One of those asteroids that they didn't see coming, that they see about a half a day out, and it passes within 100,000 miles of the Earth and just goes by us. One asteroid to hit the Earth with it just the right size and just the right place would wipe out all civilization on the Earth. God doesn't need America or Russia or China's nuclear bombs to rain down fire and brimstone from heaven. God doesn't need a prophet or this or that. When God gets ready to bring an end to things, He will do it His way, and it will be cataclysmic. It will be apocalyptic, and it will be a changing. That sun that we see out there right now, the Bible says, will be turned to blackness. I believe there are some things that are stirring in heaven. I believe there are some things that are stirring in the background that God is getting ready for. And so we are asking ourselves the question, and people are asking us the question, what is God waiting for? Why doesn't He just get it over with? How many of you are asking yourselves that question? God, I'm ready for You to come back now, short circuit this whole trial thing called life, and let me move on to my glory and my reward. I'll tell you what God's waiting for. God is waiting for every single sinner to make a decision about whether or not they're going to live for Him. The reason why God has delayed His coming is because He is reaching out for people who are lost. God wants to save people that are lost. How many of you did something last week that you thought might have kept you out of heaven? How many of you have either openly or secretly doubted God recently? I have. And you know what I was thinking when I went to bed that night, Sister Debbie? I hope God doesn't come back tonight. I hope God doesn't come back before I can make it back to church and pray one more time. I hope God doesn't come back until I make it to the prayer closet tomorrow morning. The Lord is not slack, verse 9, concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And in verse 11 it says, seeing that you know, Brother David said, all these things are going to come to pass, the Apostle Peter said, what type of a person should you be? You better not. How's that song go? Yeah, how's that go? You better watch out. You better not pout.
I'm telling you what.
If you know that God is coming back and it's not going to be a pretty picture, what type of person ought you to be living on this earth? There's a few times that this past week that I thought to myself about to say some things to some people about what I thought about them. There's a few times that I thought to tell some people some things about them that I thought about saying to them. There's some things that I typed on my computer that I deleted. There's some thoughts that I thought in my head that I deleted. In Jesus' name, I deleted those things. What type of person ought I to be, since I know that God could call an end to this thing in a very short period of time? What type of person should I be, knowing that I live in the greatest nation has ever walked the face of the earth? Now, I'm not saying that we're perfect, and I'm not saying that our culture is perfect. And I'm not saying anything of that of a sort. Don't misunderstand me, but I'm saying that as far as military might, as far as financial and wealth and resources, and just we are an amazing people. We're made up of nationalities that have come from all over the world. Somehow we all get along. America is an incredible place. Aren't you glad you don't live somewhere where they're blowing people up and shooting people? And aren't you glad you don't live somewhere in India when they find, or somewhere in Pakistan, or somewhere in one of those Muslim countries where when they find out that you're a Christian, they pull your arms out of the socket and remove your legs from your body and throw you in a ditch? Brother Rob, you're doing that preacher exaggeration stuff. Am I? I have read the reports and leave you there alive until you exsanguinate. You've got no arms and no legs on your body, and you're laying in the ground. Aren't you glad you don't live in a place like that? What type of person should we be? What type of people should we be? What type of lifestyle should we be living right now, knowing that with Israel resurrected as a nation, the Antichrist could come on the scene at any moment. The potential for the Antichrist and for a world power to arise out of the regions of Asia, Europe, and the Middle East are so high right now. There is unrest in every Islamic country in the Middle East. There is unrest and riots all across Europe. Russia has fallen apart at the seams. There is poverty and famine. There are radical, crazy nations that have access now to nuclear warheads. We are getting ready to see a cataclysm. We are getting ready to see a knocking together of heads and nations like the world has never seen before. The Bible predicts that billions of people are going to be killed. What type of person should I be? How should I be living and acting, knowing that I am in the last days? That no people that we are aware of, not even since the apostolic times, have witnessed the things that we are witnessing right now. Do you know that there is so much now? Look at the increase of knowledge and technology that we are living in. The Bible said in the last days, knowledge shall be increase. We are living in an incredible time, folks. You can get on the internet right now and go to a website that is free of charge, and you can have access to more Bible theology books and libraries and information than any one of the apostles had, all of them lumped together. And even some of the great theologians over in the European regions, you can get on the internet right now and you can access reams and reams and reams and reams of all sorts of information about the Bible that you have, that there was never exposed before at your fingertips in the privacy of your home. Knowing that there is such an increase of knowledge and information, what type of person should you be living like? Let's stand together right now. The reason why that Jesus has not returned is because God is patient, and the heart of God bleeds for humanity. The heart of God bleeds for the lost people of this world who have been deceived into believing all sorts of lies. God loves humanity and He desires to see it saved and redeemed. To see it set free from hatred, and to see it set free from selfishness and self-centeredness and the desire to pervert, to damage, and to tear apart all of the beautiful things that He has placed in our path. Let's bow our heads together right now. And I want to ask you a question. If you, this morning, if God were to come back, if God were to decide that He had had enough and that He had waited long enough for humanity to make up its mind what it was going to do, would you be able to say with me right now, "Brother Rob, I'm ready to go. I've taken care of everything that I need to take care of between me and God, and I'm at peace with God today." Would you feel like you're ready to go? This is a message today called about repentance and about turning our hearts back to God. Sometimes we're so worried about everything but what really matters. Friend, when you are walking closer to God, as close as you possibly know how to be, you'll have more answers, you'll have more strength, you'll have more direction, you'll have more resources than you will in any other possible way. God shows us His Word, the Bible says, lights our pathway before us where there's confusion and darkness and obscurity. As every head is bowed, every eye is closed, I want to ask you right now, if you don't feel like that you're ready for the Lord to come back, should He decide to in a short period of time, you feel like there's something in your heart that's troubling you, something, some unfinished business, some hidden sin, some hidden doubt that you have, something that's been bothering you, I want you to raise your hand. Just myself looking right now. If you don't feel like